Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 8. Genesis, chapter number 8. And, it's good to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight. And looking forward to what's coming. I know you are too. So, you're probably already hungry. But we'll focus here a little bit in the Word of God. People might wonder what it means. Say, what it means to be co-pastor. Basically, it means that the text, like Pastor Townsley talked about, I get them too. I get included on the group. But people like to tell you how they sleep through your sermons sometimes. And sometimes they apologize. You don't need to apologize. I don't know. The ones that really get me are when people tell me with joy how well their baby sleep. Sometimes newborns, they have to come in the service. They tell with joy how well their baby sleeped. Slept during the message, and I'm just thinking, I'm just here to be a blessing, glad I can help. And what I don't tell them is I'm secretly hoping that kid keeps them up all night for that. But it's good. Genesis chapter number 8, and we said this morning, I'm going to preach tonight, Lord willing, on God, and God remembered. And we see that phrase right in verse number 1 of Genesis 8, and God remembered Noah. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the word of God that you've given to us. I pray that you would speak to hearts, encourage someone this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Noah, if you think about him and you think about the characters of the Bible, we would all agree that Noah lived a pretty exciting life. I mean, Noah had these times where God spoke to him directly. He didn't have the Word of God. He didn't have the Bible. God spoke to him directly about what to do. He told him to build the big boat that the Bible calls an ark. And of course, the flood came. But if you think about it, he lived over 600 years. He lived a long time in that world that existed before the flood. Different type of functions here on this earth, it seems. I mean, it's unbelievable when you read about it. You think about his life and what seems exciting to us over a period of time, it would have really just been several short bursts of excitement. Most of his time in existence would be filled with what we might consider to be the mundane and obviously unique circumstances, but he had to raise a family. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. We know about them. He raised a family. He built a large boat. That had to take a while. I mean, it had to get the wood. It was just day after day after day. There's an indication of a timeline in Scripture, and we're not really sure exactly how long he spent building it, but it was years and years he spent building it. I mean, it was a period of time where it was, swinging a hammer, sawing a board, preaching a message that wasn't going to be listened to or wasn't going to be believed, and then assembling this thing as God said to, and then sitting in the boat. Can you imagine being in that boat for that period of time while the flood came and while all that happened and just being there, all the animals having to tend to them and do whatever it was he had to do with them and just really very exciting from what it happened. When you think about all the days of his life, many of them would have been just mundane. They would have been just lived just being faithful. There's a principle there, by the way, being faithful, doing what God had called him to do. The flood is, of course, the story that Noah is most identified with. You could ask a humanist, you could ask an atheist, you'd say, tell me something about Noah, and they might scoff and laugh, but they would attach him to the flood. And right here, what we read in chapter number 8 is in the middle of that story where he is in the ark and towards the end where the waters have stopped. And here he is in the middle of this fantastic circumstance. And let me just say, tonight's not being preached as a defense of the truth of the flood, but let me just make the statement that I believe in the truth of the flood as it is given in the Bible. And I don't say that from a place of ignorance and from a place of, you know, oh, don't you realize that that's just not, no. As a matter of fact, I've read a lot, seen a lot, watched a lot, reviewed a lot. You know what? Science always comes to a conclusion. There was this catastrophic event that happened a while ago that dramatically changed this earth. They just call it different things. The Bible says there was a flood, so why would I have a problem believing that? And so here is the kind of the tail end of that event where the storm, if you will, itself had calmed down and the waters had begun to dissipate, but not completely. And here he is sitting on this boat, and you think with Noah and his family, think along with them, there had to be some interesting time spent on that boat. You know, how is this going to end? What's it going to be like when we get off this thing? Are we ever going to get off this thing? I don't know that, you know, God had laid out every detail of what was going to happen, as he very often does not do for us. He wants us to believe him, to trust him, to have faith in him. You know, what's going to happen? And they sat there, and, you know, there might have been a time where Noah might have had the thought cross through his mind, do you think God's forgotten about us? Now, that's kind of a silly thing for us to say. We've got the Bible. We've got all these great stories where we know God doesn't forget. But you know, the reality is sometimes we can get in a situation, things can come our way, where we can start to get the feeling that maybe God has forgotten. But in the middle of all that, Noah, who has preached the message of righteousness, who's been obedient to build this ark, who got on board and was shut in just like God told him to, who has endured the storm, who has sat there and lived this fantastic existence, not knowing really what the next step would be, and piercing through all of that, the Bible reminds us in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and God remembered Noah. Now that doesn't mean that he ever forgot about Noah. Doesn't mean that there was he treated it like we do, you know, the things that we store away in our homes. You know, we have extra fridges where we put food and it goes to never be seen again. Oh, I forgot about that lasagna. You know, we buy clothes and we stuff them in the back of a closet. Oh, I forgot about that shirt. You know, that's not how God's attitude was here at all. It was just that he then refocused on Noah in that particular time, and he was going to make sure Noah knew, hey, I didn't forget about you. I have a plan, just like I always had a plan. I had a plan while you were in, when you got on this boat. I had a plan while you were riding out the storm, and now I have a plan for you after this storm is over. The Bible reminds us that God remembered Noah. It's interesting, just looking at that word, remembered, because it's an interesting way to describe something that God would do, because we know he's omniscient. He doesn't forget. But this is the first time in Scripture that that word is used. And it's actually used several times in the book of Genesis. And it kind of, we see the opposite of it later on in Genesis chapter 40. And I'll just read it to you. Genesis 40 and verse 23, the scene is that Joseph is in prison. And he has just met with the butler and baker of Pharaoh. And they have come in and he has been used of God to reveal to them the meaning of their dream, and it came true, and the baker was put to death, and the butler was then going to go back into the king's palace, and of course Joseph is trying to naturally to get out of prison and get out of jail, and here is what it says in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23. It says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, that's how humans are. We can make promises. We can make friendships. We can make acquaintances, have good intentions, have good ideas, and you know what? In a blink, in a moment, we've forgotten about it and moved on. But God has never forgotten like that. He's never done that. So here, the Bible tells us in chapter 8 of Genesis in verse 1, God remembered Noah. I want you to notice some things out of this passage that might help you, might be an encouragement to you a little bit this evening about God remembering Noah. I want you to first of all remember this and consider this, that God remembers his promises. God remembers his promises. in Genesis chapter number 9. So if you were to go forward in your scripture about one turn of the page or so, this is after Noah had gotten off the ark with his family. And God told him in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, he says, "I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth." God made this promise that I'm not going to send a flood like this again to destroy the earth. And I will establish, and verse 12, and God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh." God said, "I'm making you this promise, and I'm making it to all of humanity that there's never going to be a flood like this again. I sent that flood one time because man had so violently and vilely turned against me that judgment and cleansing had to come. I sent that flood one time, but there's going to be a thing in the clouds now, a rainbow, and that is going to be a guarantee that I will remember my promise that I will not send such a flood again." And you know what? Much more time has lapsed, and there's not been a flood again. You go back in the scripture, you go back to Genesis chapter 6, so before the flood. And you go to verse number 18. So God is unveiling His plan to Noah, and the plan involves this ark, it involves them getting on the ark, it involves this flood that God's going to send His judgment. He says in verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." What's this? It's this promise that He made to Noah. He said, I'm establishing this with you. And the idea is this: you're going to get on the boat alive and you're going to get off of it alive. And I'm going to use you to repopulate the earth. And I'm going to use you and your efforts here to reestablish on this earth what I have committed to do on this earth. God didn't forget His promise. But you know what? It goes back even further. You go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and verse number 15. Man has sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man was created in this place and put in this perfect place and given one command: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, of course, man chose to do that as represented by Adam. Adam is the one blamed for that, ladies, by the way. Don't let us men blame Eve too much. Of course, she was involved, but God puts it squarely on Adam that he is the one. He is the one that fell there. And so they took of the fruit of the garden and they sinned, and they knew they had sinned. That relationship with the Lord had been interrupted, and terrible consequences would ensue. But God told them this. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Do you know why even Noah was, one reason why Noah was even allowed to exist and live and continue on the ark? Because of the promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Redeemer had not come yet. So why are we looking at all of these things, and why are we considering all of these things? Because of this reminder, friend, that God always remembers His promises. This book, we preached this morning on building your life on the rock, which is to hear and to obey and do what He says in this book. But friend, this book is filled with His promises that He has made regarding all of humanity, the gospel. He's also made that pertain to individuals. My God shall supply all your need. It's made to He's given promises that deal with all sorts of circumstances of life, and you and I can be convinced that God always remembers His promises. Now, sometimes as believers, even as born again children of God, we can get to the point where we doubt. It's almost like, has God forgotten? I wish it would happen now. I wish it would take place now. But we know from Scripture that God always keeps his promises, and he always keeps them on time. You know, God's never been late. He's also never been too early. He's always right on time. God remembers his promises. Everything that happened to Noah was in fulfillment of a promise that God has made. We need to remember that truth. Noah spent a long time on that boat in that storm with the water beating around, with the animals acting, you know, like they would act, however that would be. And he spent a lot of time with that. And, you know, he had these dynamic times of his life where God spoke. I mean, he delivered a message to him in a very clear and a powerful way. But, you know, it seems like, unless God has hidden something from us for a reason, it seems like that his time on that boat was spent in silence. He'd hear the lapping of the water. He'd hear the bleating of a sheep. He'd hear conversation happen among his family, but not necessarily any direct promise from the Lord at that time. But you know what? The promises he had made were already guaranteed to come to pass. And you know, there's times where things might seem a little bit silent. Have you ever been there? Now we've got the Bible. I know doctrinally, and I can go to this. I know that every time we open it, every time we read it, it is the Word of God. He speaks to us every time. I know that truth, but you know what I mean. If you've been a believer any length of time, there are times when you're in the Word of God and pardon me for saying it, you can feel it. I mean, he's working, he's speaking, he's turning the light bulb on, and he's showing, he's guiding, he's directing, his promises are jumping out one at a time. And then there are other times where maybe a storm, maybe difficulty has come our way, and it seems silent. We read the Scripture, we can be convinced of the truth in our mind, we know it's there, but it seems like he's silent. Friend, in those times, remember that God never forgets his promises. God always remembers his promises. Everything that he's given, you know, his promises about his return, they're all going to come to pass. So, well, it's been 2,000 years since he went to heaven. Yes, it has, but you know what? God always remembers his promises. Just as surely as I believe that flood happened and that boat took place and Noah and all that, I believe he's coming again. So it doesn't seem like he's going to. Listen, he's going to. And you know, that time that you might be dealing with or struggling with or going through it, and it seems like he's silent, it seems like, where is he? Remember that God always remembers his promises. The second thought out of this passage, not only does God always remember his promises, but God always remembers his people. He says here in verse number 1, and God remembered, oh, what's his name? That's how I am. Some of you, you know, over the years you've come here and, you know, since in the time that I've been here and you've been new to the church and you know, now you're not, now you've been around a while, and you remember the first 40 times we met and I asked you to remind me of your name again. If I can sneak away, I ought to just be bold about it and stand there with a pen and when you say it, write it down. But you know, I'm too proud to do that, you know. So if I could sneak away and write them down, you know, I usually can remember them, but then if I don't, I can forget. That's how I am. That's not how God is. God didn't remember, oh, what's his name? He didn't remember that guy. God remembered Noah. God always remembers his people. With all that happened on the ark and to the earth during the flood, it's encouraging to know that God remembered Noah specifically. He remembered him in the ark. He remembered him before the ark. The Bible says in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, well, sometimes even in that sense, we can feel like we're forgotten. You know, I'm the only one trying to do right. I'm the only one, you know, trying to obey the Lord. Listen, God knows. God's with it. God sees it. You believe that in a planet with 7 billion people on the face of the earth that if you were the only person that was trying to do right, do you think God would know it? Of course he would. He remembered Noah before the flood even came, and he protected him and he shielded him. God always remembers those that are His. If you are His, He tells us in Revelation that your name, your very name, is written in His book. Hold your finger in Genesis. Look at Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 29. Matthew 10:29, the Bible says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Now that's not a lot of money. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." That's amazing. You ever clean your glass real good, ladies? That sliding door, and it becomes the death wall of a bird. You ever have that happen? I mean, you seem like they could figure that out. I mean, but they, you know, it happens. I mean, we see it around here, you know, some of the doors and all, it happens around here. And if God's true to His Word, which I already told you, remembers His promises, there's not one of those little birds that hit the ground that God doesn't know about. Think about that. He says, not one bird, verse 30, but the very head, talking to His followers, but the very head, hairs of your head are all numbered. "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I'm glad to know that. But what's He telling them? He said, listen, He's a God who is big enough and knowledgeable enough to know every animal that walks around on this earth, and not one of them can fall to the ground without Him knowing it. And He turns to His followers, He said, "And you, I know the number of every one of your hairs." That tomorrow morning when you're combing your hair and you look down in the sink, gentlemen, maybe wonder, what number were those? You know, He knows us. And He knows us personally. And He knows us even more than we know ourselves. The psalmist talks about that, about search me and know me. I mean, he said, you know me better than I can know me. And he knows you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your frame. He knows where you're frail. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths, and He knows exactly where you are right now. One thing, being in churches all my life and working with folks, it's very obvious that many times people come and for very good reasons, they not in a hypocritical way, but they come and they sit in a church and they smile and they put, but there are things they're dealing with that nobody else in the building knows, and nobody else in the building could know. But friend, know that God knows. He knows that struggle. He knows that difficulty. He knows that thing that you're dealing with. The Bible is filled with examples of His personal care. If we continued through Genesis, we're not going to tonight, but if we did, we could see that from the pit to the palace, He never forgot Joseph. That butler forgot Joseph, but God never forgot Joseph. In the book of Acts, chapter 23, and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul was imprisoned, and this would be the imprisonment that would shape and change his ministry. He had been in jail before, but he had never, from what we understand from his life, he had never been in jail more than one night. He had never been in jail for an extended period of time. He had been beaten. He'd had all things, sorts of things happen, but he had never been confined in that way over any length of time. Well, this time he's in jail, and there's a second night. And in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, it says it this way, "And the night following," almost letting you know, hey, Paul is here. This is something different for him. And maybe even the great apostle Paul was shaken a little bit. But notice what it says. It says, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him." You know, we do a lot of visiting, see people in hospitals. You always feel woefully inadequate. Somebody in time of need, to go there, you try to pray with them, encourage them a little bit. But you know what? That's nothing compared to the fact that the very God of heaven stands with and by His people during time of need. The Lord stood by him. The Lord God always remembers His people. I'm going to move along quickly. God always remembers His promises. And then the third thought, God always remembers our peril. Noah's in a bad spot here. But God was right with him the whole time. You know, sometimes it's difficult to deal with what we have to deal with in life. It's just part of life. The older you get, the more you realize that. The more you realize the struggle that people are engaged in, that they have to, that life sends their way, sicknesses, ailments, storms, as they are described and often in Scripture. I mean, all these things, they could come our way, but the Lord knows every detail of that peril that we face. As many of you have in your family, and appreciate your prayers, my daughters, both of them, have been dealing with the flu, diagnosed flu. It's the real thing, you know, and they've been dealing with that. And this morning, one of them was laying there before I came to church. He's laying there on a love seat that we have there. And she said, "Why don't we all just weep together?" You know, there's times like that, and that's she was showing a sense of humor with that. I mean, it hasn't felt good at all. But you know what? It's kind of how we are at times, isn't it? Why don't we all just weep together? Sometimes, though, there's nobody else to weep with. Sometimes there's nobody that we can weep with. Sometimes there's nobody that understands enough of the peril that we're dealing with that they can weep with us. But the Lord always knows. He knows. And I don't know, I preach this. The last few times that I've preached, we talked to Wednesday night about the world, dealing with the world. Talked about a couple weeks ago, dealing with the flesh. Talked about our heart a few weeks ago about it. But tonight the Lord just for some reason led me this direction. Maybe somebody in here needs some encouragement to know that in the middle of your peril, the Lord knows it. He is right there with you. He wasn't surprised by it. He's never been surprised by one doctor's visit. He's never been surprised by one phone call. He's never been surprised by one financial setback. He's never been surprised by all of those things. And so as a believer, we can learn a lesson from Noah that when those things happen, sometimes all we can do is sit there and rest in the safety that He has provided for us and just know we may not hear His voice, but just know that He's there and that He is with us. And just as surely as He has led us to where we are, He will lead us into the next step when the time comes. Right in the middle of the peril, and we're going to wrap it up here, but right in the middle of the peril, where Noah, I mean, what was he going to do? But God on that boat, He left a little raven and a little dove. Seems kind of insignificant to us, but they were a big help to Noah. You know, he didn't know what to do, but God somehow directed that raven and that dove. He sent them out, the raven left, and He sent the dove out, and that dove helped him to know that next step to take. You see, in the peril, where it all seems out of control, God is intimately aware of all the details, and He is able to guide us through. Friend, just ride safely in His care and know that He's with you, His promises never fail, and that He has a plan, and He will let you know that next step when it's time to know. The Bible says, and God remembered Noah. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you need to put your name in that blank to you personally and remember that God remembers you. I know I've had to do it. I know there have been times I've had to be comforted by the fact that I know God remembers Joel Boyle. God remembers Central Baptist Church. And friend, God remembers all those that are His. Dear Lord, we thank You.